Psalm 13 in your Bibles tonight. I thought Sam was going to jump on the piano there, but he didn't do it, so. Psalm chapter 13 tonight. Let's get into the Word of God. I can't do anything else. Let's open our Bibles and talk about Jesus tonight. Amen. We'll certainly work on that tonight. Start to say I can't do anything else but I can preach, but I'm not going to say that either. I'm not going to guarantee nothing on that either. But Psalm chapter 13, this is a great psalm, and it's six verses, and there's a lot there. And I want to talk to you tonight. I've actually preached on this psalm. That's been a long time ago. But I was studying this psalm and trying to get a message out of it, and then I went back and looked, and I said, well, I got a message on it. Y'all got that marked? I got a message on it. So I was trying to get a message out of it, and I said, well, let me look. I got a message on it. Well, I reworked that message because it was saying about the same things I was going to say, trying to say anyway. So I've done this. In fact, I think it was the very first Wednesday night I was here I preached on this, if you got that note. You got that note? Okay, it's been a while. I want to talk to you tonight about the language of prayer, which is in here. Let's go ahead and read the six verses here tonight. Here David says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Isn't that an amazing statement right there, a question? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So like many of the Psalms, it changes by the time it gets to the end, and that's a good thing. He's praying, he's talking to God, he's pouring his heart out to God, literally. This probably is where one of the many Psalms where David was, before he had become king, he probably was anointed king, but he was being chased down and Saul was trying to kill him. And he's like, you know, I've been promised I'll be the king, next king, if I live another day. And he was very frustrated. He was filled with a lot of anxiety here. His troubles seemed like they would never end. And he had all of this stuff going on, a whole lot of uncertainties about his life. Warren Wiersbe says about this text, David was certainly concerned about what the enemy was doing, but he was even more concerned about what the Lord was not doing. You ever been there? God, I see the enemy working. The old devil's working. I see problems. I see troubles. I see trials. Lord, I don't see what you're doing. You ever felt like David? His feelings, by the way, were getting the best of him right here. So he was feeling frustrated. He was feeling abandoned. He was feeling like the Lord wasn't there. He was at a loss of understanding about everything. He was afraid of the circumstances that he was in. And he didn't know what he should do. He didn't know what he should do next. He didn't know what was coming next. So he says, how long, Lord? How long? How long? About three times he asked, Lord, how long is this going to be? How long, Lord, is this trial going to last? Is really what he's saying there. How long is it going to be like this? Forever? I'm glad that by the end of the psalm, and we'll get there in a little bit, he changes tune. But this is the language of prayer here. It's pouring your heart out to God. It's making some petitions or requests unto God. And then you get to praise God because he heard your prayer. That's the language of prayer, right? Let's talk about this tonight. Number one, let's talk about the problems, the language of problems. That's what's in verses 1 and 2. A lot of prayer is prompted by troubles, trials, and problems. Amen? Y'all agree with that? If we didn't have troubles, trials, and problems, I wonder how much praying we might do. I wonder how deep and earnest and sincere our praying would be if it wasn't for the troubles and the trials and begging God to help us. If we didn't have the sorrows and the anxieties, if we didn't have the feelings that where is God, then we may not be calling out to God. Well, David here actually felt forgotten by God. He felt forsaken and abandoned by God. Now, you and I, let's go ahead and say, that's never the case. But you might feel like it. It's never the case. God's there. He's here. He's with us tonight. Amen? Now, you're not always in tune with His presence. Now, can God pull back on us? Yes, He can. Now, a lot of times it's not that God pulled back, it's that we went astray. But I think David was right with God, and perhaps you're right with God, but yet it still seems like God has sort of let you go out, gave you a little more string than you wanted, and let you venture out a little bit, right? And that's really what's going on right here. But he felt like God was there, not there. And he said, is it going to be forever? So that indicates the level of the anxiety that he was feeling. The depth of the trouble, the problems that he was going through. It implied that there was a time when he felt close to God, but it's not right now. And it probably perhaps hadn't been for a while. So here he is talking about his problems. He's pouring his heart out to God about his problems. He's asking God several questions. Now, when things really are bad, and they can be bad, and they can get worse, right? It's a waste of time to just, well, I'm going to be positive and pretend like I don't have a problem. You got a problem. You can't pretend your way out of it. No need in pretending like there's not a problem when you really, really, really got a problem, right? Ignoring a problem doesn't make it go away. Does it? So you don't want to just say, oh, everything's good, everything's fine, and, you know, and pretend like it is when you know you've got a major issue going on. And you there are a lot of major, major issues and problems. The issue, though, sometimes is we're focused on the trouble and the trial and the problem, so we feel abandoned by God. Because it's where our focus is, right? Now again, when I say focus, I don't mean pretend like this problem's not there. No, it's there. But focus on God as much as you've been focusing on the troubles too, right? God is there, so that's what drives you to prayer, right? When you go through something, it drives you to prayer. Now, he really here asks about five questions in this thing. He asks God, he says, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Now, again, I already said he doesn't forget you. But there's going to be some times when you feel like he has. People feel like the Lord has just abandoned them and they lose sight of the Lord. And then he asked the question, he said, is it forever? Is it going to be forever? How long do trials last? You ever had a trial to go a day or two, like a 24-hour virus? You have. Thank God it worked itself out quick, amen, or God worked it out quick. You've had them going for weeks. You've had them going for months. You ever had a trial going for years? You ever had a trial that seems like a lifetime? That's where he was right there. And troubles and trials, they're not always quick remedies for them. Ask Job about that, right? So Job understood the troubles and the trials that go on. And then he said this, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, God's in the Bible, when God's face is turned towards somebody, God's face is shining towards somebody, that's equated with the blessings and the favor and the love of God. And we're feeling it, we're sensing it, man, that's wonderful, right? But when the Bible talks about God's face not being turned towards us, then that can indicate a lack of blessings, or we're just in the valley of the shadow of death as far as our trials go. Right, we can get so deep in that valley, and sometimes we feel like we're there all alone, and we're begging God, Lord, don't hide your face from me. You read it other places in the Psalms in the Bible where they prayed, Lord, turn your face towards us. We need revival again. Amen. Lord, look to us again. And that's really kind of what he was saying. And then he said, he makes this, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? Daily. You notice what he said there? In verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? You ever took counsel in your soul? Had a good conversation with yourself? You ever talk to yourself sometimes? You have to. What is worry? I think that's taking counsel in your soul, in your mind, and in your heart. You're talking to yourself, right? Now, it's good to talk to somebody else and best to talk to God, but sometimes you're going to talk to yourself. And what is that called? When he said, I'm taking counsel, I'm trying to figure it out. I want to know what, I got to figure out what the next step is. But then he talked about this sorrow that he felt every day. He said, it's daily. I feel sorrow daily. He was at a very low point, wasn't he? And had been at a low point for a while. And so he feels this sorrow, and it's constant there. It's draining him all the time. It's taking all of his energy trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to kill Saul. He'd had opportunities to kill Saul. He didn't want to kill Saul. He wanted to honor Saul. He said, he's God's anointed. I'm going to wait on God. But God, it's looking to me like, Lord, he's going to get me out of here before I ever become king. And so he was daily sorrowful, if that's the case. Now, it could have been another. David had other issues that would apply to, right? And maybe you felt sorrow daily. And then he said, it says there, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Saul's still the king. Seems like Saul's winning. Does it ever feel like the devil's winning? Our enemy is winning, right? Our enemy, it seems like he's winning a lot these days, doesn't it? So now he's asking that question, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Lord, I want you to exalt me. Lord, I want you to lift me up out of this. But you hadn't lifted me up out of this, and I'm in the miry clay, and my enemy seems to be exalted. And you can apply that a lot of ways, but I think we see the devil and what he's doing, and we think he's exalted sometimes. Evil people are exalted oftentimes, and we feel like we've been let down or put down. So, boy, this is the language of prayer, isn't it? I mean, he's asking God some questions. It's okay to question God. It's okay to say why. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Same thing. It's okay to ask God why. It's okay to ask those questions. So here David is, where he once had faith, he now has a whole lot of fear. I've told you recently, faith and fear, they're going to cancel each other out, right? They don't dwell together very good. One's usually going to be dominant over the other one, your faith or your fear. At this point, his fear was dominant, but thankfully it changes by the end, which many of the Psalms, that's a common thing that happens. But sometimes you just don't know where things are going to land, right? I've told you before, there's that the African impala, they say this thing can, like a deer, it can jump 10 feet high. But they can keep it in a relatively short wall, solid wall, because if it can't see what's on the other side, it won't jump. It has to see where it's going to land, which is pretty smart. I've seen deer just jump and run into anything, right? Your car. But this guy, he wants to know where he's going to land before he jumps. Now, we're kind of like that sometimes. We're frozen because we don't know where we're going to land. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. But, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith anyway, don't you? You have to take risk. You have to jump out there. Maybe at the prompting of the Lord saying, it's okay, here, jump, I'll catch you, right? And God tells you to go ahead and take that leap of faith, and you're like, I don't know where this is going to land, Lord. That's the language of problems right there that we've got. And we have to trust and obey sometimes, and we live by faith and not by sight. So the language of problems is certainly there. That drives us to prayer. Number two is the language of petition. Well, that is our prayer. He starts to ask some petitions. He starts to ask God. Now, he's asked God questions right now, but now he starts to make petitions. So he's already asked questions, but those questions were just really revealing his problems. So now verses 3 and 4. This is where he really prays here now. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Moved being meaning removed. They just got me out of the way. So here he is calling on God, saying, God, I need you to consider my situation. God, I need you to consider this. Aren't you glad God does consider you? Amen. Have you considered my servant Job? Now, he asked the devil, have you considered Job? And he said, well, I'll take a look at him and tell me about him. And he considered him, right? He considered how to destroy him. But God considers us all the time. He's got his eyes on us. Amen. And the Lord wants to help us here. So he calls out to God about his anxiety, his problems, his frustration, and says, consider me, O Lord. And he asked God there, he said, will you lighten mine eyes? Now, if a person is really, really down, they're not really bright-eyed, are they? If a person is really discouraged, their eyes are like half closed and they're not bright and alert, right? Like your squirrel in your yard, you know, or whatever else. You know, they're not bright and alert and just bright-eyed. If you're discouraged, he says, lighten mine eyes. Now that could mean, give me some joy that shows up on my face, Lord. Amen. I'd like to have some of that. When somebody's joyful, it shows up in their eyes, right? They got a twinkle in their eye. Now, lighten mine eyes also could mean, Lord, shed some light on my path. Give me some guidance. Give me some direction because I don't know what to do. So he's asking for that direction there as well. And God, how would you have me to go about this? So he's asking for wisdom. It might even be a little bit of this. Lord, I'd like to see some light at the end of the tunnel. You ever ask for that? God, I'd like some light at the end of the tunnel because I already said, Lord, how long is this going to last? Lord, is there a light at the end of the tunnel that's not a freight train coming my way? Amen. Of more problems? I want a light coming but I want to see a light at the end of the tunnel, a way out of this thing. So he's asking God to lighten his eyes there. Consider me, O Lord. Give me some light and some direction and some joy in my eyes here. Because the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. Can't see where you're going. You're in darkness. Well, that picture is a lost person, right? And if a person's very, very discouraged like that, that happens in their life. So he's asking God for a more positive outcome. He's asking God for healing or help and deliverance in this. And then, of course, what he said there in verse 4, lest mine enemy say I prevailed. So he's asking for some victory in this situation. There were times, again, he could have destroyed Saul, and his men encouraged him to do it. He said, I want victory, but not like that. God, I want you to work this thing out. I don't want to take this into my own hands. He's your man. Now, David was always like, God, Saul's your man. Now, would you please get him in line and straighten him out? Amen? Because he's not acting right. He ain't behaving right. He's trying to kill me. But he wanted victory. He didn't want the enemy prevailing. Now look, it probably was Saul. It could have been the Philistines. It could have been Goliath. I mean, it could have been a lot of things that he was dealing with in his life that it would all apply, and you could apply it to the giants in your life too. You got some giants in your life, and you don't want them prevailing over you, right? So he's trying to get some help on this. He's asking for some victory about this. And again, sometimes he's already implied it takes the patience of Job for you to go through this and realize what's happening. Now, we don't always get answers to our questions like he's been asking here. We don't always get understanding. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. It's kind of a blurry picture down here oftentimes. I don't know what God's doing. I read something the other day that about Jacob. Whenever he got word that Simeon had got locked up there in Egypt, and he thought, you know, I'm just going to die now. You know what? He wasn't about to die. What he didn't know when he got that devastating, terrible news was that everything was about to work out. Because Joseph was the one that put him there. It was a test by Joseph. Well, he got word there. You mean I've lost Simeon now? No, you haven't lost Simeon. Joseph's got him. You just don't know it yet. And Joseph's going to be sending for all of you soon. Amen. So while he was at a very low point and it looked terrible, God was actually working things out in his life. So we don't always see what's happening. We don't always see what God's doing. That's why we trust. Because we don't see it. It might look like it's at its lowest point. Could be the time that God is actually working and doing something. Or God can give you peace and grace. Peace that passes all understanding and give you the help you need. Amen? So the language of prayer. Well, there's the problems. There's the petitions. I've told you all my problems. Now I'm asking you to consider my situation. Here's what I need you to do, Lord. And then what did that lead to? Number 3, it led to the language of praise. That's what the last two verses are. In verse 5, it says, but. You know that little word, but, changes a lot of situations. Amen? Now, us negative people, it's like, yeah, well, this could happen. This could be good. That'd be great, but. And we go the wrong way with it, right? You ever done that? Somebody tries to encourage you, you say, yeah, I know, but, and you go down with it. Well, at least here, the but went in the right direction. Amen. It changed in the right place. But, he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you are, but I'm calling on you. I'm talking to you. I'm asking you to consider everything. And I'm going to trust in what? Your mercy. Aren't you glad God's merciful and forever merciful? Even when you don't know where he's at, you can trust in the fact that he's merciful. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? I don't know where you're at. You already left me and abandoned me, but I know you're merciful. So he comes back around to say, God, you wouldn't abandon me. You wouldn't forsaken me. God, you're forever merciful. I've trusted in that. Now, he's still praying, but it's turning into the prayer of praise. I was about to preach on chapter 19, and I may yet at some point have been reading all of these, but in chapter 19, he just talks about his total dependence upon God and how God did this and God did that. God did everything. He had become king by that time, and he was saying, God did it, God did it, God did it. I didn't do anything. God did it all. Amen. But he couldn't say none of that right here because he's in the midst of the trial. So whenever he said, how long, Lord, forever? The answer was, well, let's get over to chapter 19 and it gets better. Amen. Perhaps even before that, but I know that one because I've been looking at it. And the Lord knows how to bring it about. So problems lead to petitions, which can lead to a renewed faith and praise and hope, which, again, often happens in these psalms. So faith and hope and praise. Have you ever got down in prayer, hopeless, and got back up and had a little hope? You ever got on the church altar hopeless and got up with some hopefulness? God, you hadn't forgot it. You ever gone to God in turmoil and distress and got up with some peace that, you know what, the Lord, he's still here. You know what, the Lord's still merciful. The Lord's still loving. The Lord's still powerful. The Lord still knows about me. The Lord is considering. But you know, until you went to him in prayer, you didn't feel it. You know why it changed by the end of this thing? Because he poured his heart out to God. It's the language of prayer. He gave it all to God. He told him his problems. He gave him his petitions. And now he's able to give some praise. That God, you do love me. I looked at Wiersbe's commentary on this chapter, and he said this. He said, God's people don't live by explanations, they live by promises. Isn't that the truth? And he also said this, David's circumstances haven't changed, but the Lord has changed him. And that occurred when David stopped looking at his feelings and his foes and by faith looked to the Lord. Do you ever look to your feelings and your foes and forget about your faith? But when you bring your faith back up, you get faith back involved, then that can take care of the feelings and the foes and the fear. Amen. And that's what happened. The transit, six little verses, short prayer. But I tell you, he said a lot in that prayer, didn't he? Pretty powerful prayer. He had a lot to say in that prayer. He poured his feelings out to God. That's good to do, but you don't want to live by those very long. Feelings will tell you God's not around. Feelings will tell you God doesn't love you. Feelings will tell you God's never coming back. Feelings are, can give you trouble like that. So he went from problems to petition and ended up in praise. Amen. You know, when you might be living in verses 1 and 2. You might be living in verses 3 and 4, crying out, saying, God, you've been telling him all about your problems. Now you're saying, God, consider it. Don't let my enemies prevail anymore. God, help. And you want to get to verses 5 and 6 and praise the Lord. Amen. His little poem says, he does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. That's the truth. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way. By faith now walk ye in it. And I'm glad that it is so. Today is enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all the moments in his hands and gives them one by one. I like that. He doesn't unfold the plan. If he did unfold the plan year by year, that would worry us even more, wouldn't it? It is by minute. It is by step by step. It is hour by hour. It is by faith, not by sight. But I really think, I've been reading in these Psalms lately, and I'm marking a lot of stuff, thinking about a lot of stuff, but just kind of settled in on chapter 13 here, and I was working on a message, and then I went and looked, and I said, well, I got a message, so I reworked that message, but it said what I wanted to say tonight. And I hope it'll help you tonight to go to God with your problems. Tell him. It's okay. Tell him your problems. Ask him how long is it going to be. How long before you're going to do something or show up? Ask him. Make your petitions. Make your requests known unto God, right? With thanksgiving, Paul said. But don't forget to praise him. Now, later on he praises God for all that he's done. Here he's praising God for what he believes he's going to do. Praise that's praising God by faith because he hadn't done it yet. I mean, his feelings might still be up in verses 1 and 2. But his petitions are there, and now he's praising God, saying, Lord, I know you're merciful, and I can trust you because of that. And if you'll remember his mercy and his love, that'll help you when you forget his power. Right? He's still good, amen? And he's still able. That's the language of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Let's just think about this for a moment here this evening. David, really, in six short verses, it's a mighty prayer. Dear Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to learn from this tonight. And God, I know people this year, as I've said, Lord, are going through a lot of issues, a lot of trials, a lot of problems. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight with it. And God, speak to our hearts, encourage us and help us here this evening. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, come on, let's sing a song.
Well, I will go ahead and tell you I definitely petitioned already this afternoon because I don't really know this song. But we're going to try it. I think my wife helped me on this. I was sitting back there and she knows the song. You may stay seated for this because y'all might need it. We're going to try. We'll see what happens. Sweet Hour of Prayer, 264. 264, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We're going to make an attempt. We'll sing the first and second verse. Excuse me. All right. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. All right. Amen.
Amen, brother. That was good right there. I like that. Good song, good song. All right, well, thank you for those that have listened to us tonight and watched us online, and thank the Lord we got all that working tonight and everything in here working as well. But we're going to go and...